Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I am not nervous. Okay. So I have lost one, two, three teams in the Sweet 16. There's still time. I still have Buffalo. Oh, wait. They're down 10 right now, just before half. Okay, maybe I am in trouble. Well, it was an interesting first day in the NCAA tournament. Let's just say that. UCLA, who a lot of folks felt didn't even belong in the NCAA tournament, they win with an 11-6 seed win over SMU. UAB dumps off Iowa State in a 14-3 matchup. Georgia State dumps off Baylor in a 14-3. These 14-3s have not worked out well for the threes. Notre Dame got the win, though. They beat Northeastern. And Albany, Oklahoma plays later on tonight in the other 14-3. But right now, the only three seed to continue is Notre Dame. So those are some of the big upsets. Like I said, today, game going on right now, West Virginia and Buffalo. And it's about a 10-point game just before the half with West Virginia leading it. They were on a 7-0 run at one point just a few moments ago in the game before my screen froze up. I think everybody's in the same boat right now, eating up bandwidth left and right. Have you gone onto the CBS website? They have a button on the CBS website called Boss Button. And if you hit that, it goes to something that looks like you're actually doing something. I saw that last year for the first time. I'm like, that's actually really kind of clever. I wonder how many bosses right now have already gone to this website to see what the Boss Button does so that they know what's going on when you hit the Boss Button. Belmont UVA coming up in just about 20 minutes from now, one of the games on the schedule. Valpo and Maryland coming up in the next hour or so as well. And there is another 4-13 game on the way. That particular 4-13 game, let's see, what is that one? Is that the Louisville game? I think that's the one. Louisville UC Irvine. That's the 4-13 that's coming up here in about an hour from now. Thought one of the more interesting games of the night last night happened to be Harvard and North Carolina. Harvard gave them a run. That would really... How many... Raise your hand if you join me and you have North Carolina in your at least 16, maybe even 8. Can you imagine Harvard pulling off that one? Then I would have... I may have waved the flag at that point. And waved the white flag and surrendered my bracket. We'll check in with Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio shortly, see how his bracket is looking right now. I got a funny feeling that his bracket's in good shape. It does kind of annoy me, I must admit. Today's show sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
We want to see you in a Kia, Sunbury Motors Kia.
This the Super Mega Spectacular Sales Event for a limited time going on now.
Why are you talking like that?
Because this voice sells cars.
I thought selling great cars with the best warranty from local people you know and trust was the best way.
What about
the fact that at Sunbury Motors Kia, you can get an award-winning, all-new 2016 Kia Sorento with savings up to $4,400 off, or a 2015 Kia Forte as low as $15,978. And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
What?
No, stop. No need for that. For great deals on great cars from a local dealership you know and trust, stop in and see Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com, where they've been selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Not a big buyer on some teams in the tournament. I thought the Kevin, your pick of Stephen F. Austin, they played well last night. But they don't quite have enough, and that becomes an issue against a team that has a multifaceted attack. Buffalo right now is losing by 10 at halftime. You have ridden the Buffalo wave.
Yeah, and I think it's already crested. I mean, 26 points for Buffalo at the half is not many. What are they average, 90?
Mm-hmm.
26 is not good.
But they average 90, but not against a team with the defensive acumen of West Virginia.
That's very, very true.
West Virginia has better guards. I saw something today in the first game between Kansas and New Mexico State that I thought was very important and a little out of character. It was, I don't know, was it 4-4 early? And Bill Self, who was not a yeller and not a screamer, that's not his M.O., was furious and yelling and screaming at his team. It was 4-4. They won the game 75-56 and played a solid game. It was a good Kansas win. It wasn't that they so outmanned New Mexico State. Yeah, they outmanned them, but they played at a really good level. I exchanged a couple of emails with a fan about NC State. NC State normally is a pretty smart team, and I like how Mark Godfrey coaches. You know, I like his team. They're not a great team, but they're really good. Well, they played a stupid game yesterday with LSU. Both teams, it was a lot of athletes running up and down with no basketball IQ, and you get lulled into playing the other guy's game. And LSU, that's how they play, and NC State got lulled into playing that game. All right, that was a one-point game that finished as an exciting game, but was not a good game. You got those sometimes. And I think after watching yesterday's games, Bill Self was not going to let his team take the moment or the game for granted. And I thought that was really important. I think yesterday has set up today where I think the mental approach of the favorites so far has been different than the mental approach of the favorites yesterday.
Well, they were talking about the earliness of that game maybe affecting some of the play.
Which game?
I think it was Kansas-New Mexico State. Because I was watching that when I was watching Michigan State. But I think it was Kansas-New Mexico State.
They started at what, quarter after 11?
Something like that, yeah.
Local time? Yeah, whatever.
Well, but for New Mexico State, that's an hour early. That's like starting at 10 o'clock for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Penn State played Temple. The game was 11 o'clock in the morning out there. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're 21 years old.
All right. Understandable.
It's not like us going, hey, oh my goodness, I can't believe how early it is.
I don't know about you, but I was, well, all right, let me rephrase that. I know I was sweating with Harvard, North Carolina for a while there.
No.
Yeah, well, that was way too close for a team that I have going to the Elite Eight.
Here's North Carolina's issue. North Carolina's issue was this. They are a team that gets only 18% of its points from threes. They massively rely, I believe it's 57% of their points, from two-point shots. They're not a they're a team that if you get them down, they can't really, they don't have really enough outside to rally and use that shot to get themselves back. Let's see, update the scoreboard. Northern Iowa leads Wyoming 53-43, 9.5 to go. At the break, West Virginia leads Buffalo 36-26.
Oh, thanks. Kansas, he just ruined it because I'm on a five-second delay, and he just hit the three to tie it at 53-43. Oh, man.
Tie it? It's a 10-point game.
I mean to put it back to 10. I meant to say go back to 10. I said tie it. Sorry.
No, I see.
I'm on a five-second delay along with the video.
No, that equals 10. Kansas beat New Mexico State 75-56. Brandon Dawson, huge second half. Michigan State beat Georgia 70-63. And Wichita and Indiana. Indiana leads at 19-16 with 9:10 to go in the first half of that game. Yogi Ferrell so far has 11, and Freddie Van Fleet has 8 so far. For Wichita State. Actually, it's 19-17 now. Wichita State just scored again.
You know, you mentioned
earlier.
It's
a good matchup, Van Fleet against Ferrell. It's a good matchup, Van Fleet and Ferrell. Really good.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, not having enough weapons, or more or less not having enough weapons for some of these teams. And I thought it was a good example last night with Stephen F. Austin in Utah, because Walkup, they handled Walkup very, very well. What do you have, 7? At one point late in the game, 7 points. I mean, and it was, and you could tell it was really affecting their offense and how they played the game.
Well, it just, they have a multiple ways of getting you. I mean, that's the key part. You're not just a one-dimensional group. That's sometimes that happens with some of the unknown teams in the tournament. How about that? We'll go with unknown teams. All right. Where they have a certain way of playing, a style of playing, or are really strong at one position, but they're not so great at other spots. And that's where you do run into an issue. And now they got some really good games coming up today. Belmont against Virginia, first team to 45 wins. Maryland Valpo will be interesting.
I don't know if I want to be Oklahoma today or not, though.
Why? Who are they playing?
They're playing
Alabama.
Albany.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Albany.
Albany. Albany's not that bad.
No, but the three seeds have not fared well.
There's
only one that's won.
That.
I know
I'm
that.
I'm not a believer.
I understand. I understand it's each game individually, but it's just interesting that of the three seeds that played already, only one has moved on. I mean, 3-14, you feel pretty comfortable picking the three there. Not this year.
But obviously, every year, 7-10 seeds. You know how close a 7 and a 10 are?
Well, I understand 7-10. I understand the 9-8 games are going to be tight. But the 3-14, you don't expect those to be upsets.
And every year, 5-12 wins. That's why everybody picked Buffalo.
Go Bulls.
I didn't. Huh?
Go Bulls.
All right. But here's one for you.
Although Wyoming is leading or is behind Northern Illinois right now, too, in a 5-12. Go ahead.
Northern Iowa.
Or Northern Iowa, sorry.
Yeah. Well, Wyoming won their way into the tournament by winning the Mountain West. They don't make the tournament without it. Okay. They are the 48th seed.
I'm not denying any of that.
Yeah.
What's your most interesting game today? From a matchup standpoint, not from a bracket or anything like that. What do you think is the most interesting game today?
Most interesting game of the day? The 8-9 games don't intrigue me at all today. Actually, the game that Wichita State and Indiana is probably the one right now that would intrigue me more than anything. I think that's a close matchup. That's another 10-7 that's really close. Well, let's see. Anybody else here? Maryland, Valpo, maybe. Oklahoma State, Oregon. I have no interest in that game. Iowa Davidson will be really good. Watch that one tonight. Davidson runs, Bob McKillop runs really good offense. They love to shoot the three. They're great at it. Iowa has great length. White's played so well. It's made a big difference for them. And that would be what I would watch. I don't know who has that tonight. I don't know if that's...
The Iowa game? That's on TNT tonight at 7:20.
Oh, so it's not on the Crime Channel? All
right. No, it's not on True TV. Okay. Tell you what, you give True TV more viewing time in the next week and a half than ever.
I don't think True has any games next week, do they?
Maybe they don't. I don't know. I'm just saying, even without any games, you're still getting them more in the next week and a half than you give them ever.
Well, I think the Final Four this year, the semifinal day, is on TBS.
That's interesting. What, a Survivor on that day? Or?
No, eventually the championship game, I think it's next year, goes to TBS, too.
It's just funny to hear Jim Nance on True TV say, that's what's coming up next on True TV. I'm like, what? Oh.
Hey, believe me, they hand you a card, you read it.
I can understand.
Okay. They hand you a card, you can read.
I've done that a few times myself over the years.
I see Frank the Tank's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. Very nice. How? My Wooden Award ballots here, Frank the Tank. It's a big Frank the Tank day here today.
How long is it before a 16 dumps off a 1? I mean, statistically, it's got to happen.
I would say it's going to take maybe 100, 200 years.
But by that point, we'll be playing every team in the NCAA basketball playing each other in the tournament.
No, I think they've got it where they need it. 68's fine. There's been no talk or desire to go beyond 68.
No, I can't imagine going any further out. The other
Extends the season too long, but they're not. I have not heard one person talk about expanding to 68, past 68. Nobody. No hint, conversation anywhere about that. I know you whine, moan, and complain about the conference tournaments, but there's one element of the conference tournaments you've never taken into account. You know who loves the conference tournaments?
Well, I know the players love them.
The players love them.
Of course they do.
Hey, let's do something for them.
You know what my biggest issue with the NCAA tournament is? And it has nothing to do with the basketball being played.
Here comes the rant.
Are you ready? There are entirely too many media timeouts. I get it. You've got to pay bills. I understand. But how can you have so many timeouts in the last 2 minutes of a game?
Well, it's because the coaches have timeouts. That's why.
Well, and that's right. Exactly. You've used up all these media timeouts. Now you have three more coaches' timeouts. I mean, do you have to take a break during a coach's timeout? Can they be 30-second timeouts and we just start playing again? I get it. You need to pay the bills. I get it.
But those are 30-second commercials. They aren't minute commercials.
Just seems like the last 2 minutes are taking 20.
Well, it's because it does. There's another thing that is different. The television timeouts. That's why I was talking about Wisconsin earlier. In the week, you weren't here, and I said something that will help Wisconsin is that they really have a six-man team right now, maybe seven with Showalter. It becomes less of a factor at this time of the year in the tournament. Why? The TV timeouts are longer by about a minute. Plus, the first timeout of the opening half, a use it or lose it, reverts like it does in the second half. with the first timeout of the half is a long media timeout, too. So you get all these built-in rest breaks on a team like Wisconsin. Depth is not going to mean as much.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. All right, stock the man cave up. You have to. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best beer selection anywhere. Soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors carryovers 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Quick update of the scoreboard. Kansas beat New Mexico State 75-59. They advance. Michigan State, Travis Trice had 15 today. Brandon Dawson, big second half. They beat Georgia 70-63. Right now, West Virginia leads Buffalo 39-33, 17.5 to go in the game. Juwan Staten has 10 so far. Northern Iowa, Jesperson has 13. Seth Tuttle has a dozen. They lead at 64-50 over Wyoming at the under 4 in the second half. And Indiana, Wichita State, under 4 first half. Yogi Ferrell has 13 so far, and they lead Wichita State 33-27. Fred Van Fleet, the outstanding point guard for Wichita State, has a dozen so far. We now bring in the head football coach of Bucknell, Joe Susan, to talk about spring football. Joe, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to hear you.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be back, and it's beautiful spring day here in the Valley.
Oh, absolutely. No, it just gives you that football feeling as we watch the onion snow fall.
I had the privilege of talking to the Middleburg Elementary School 4th and 5th graders today on a career day. I told them I was going to be on the radio with Steve and Kevin. They said, "You know Kevin?" I said, "Yeah."
I highly doubt that. But I like it.
Well, that was really very smooth. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I thought I'd segue with that. I'm not sure what segue. I'm not sure what segue means, but sounds good.
No, it took us to the abyss, but that's all right. No. Your program obviously has been a program on the rise. You're coming off as a program your most successful season to this point. Didn't end the way you wanted, but you're most successful yet. Can you pinpoint an area in the program's development where you felt the confidence quotient started to change, which then started breeding success?
I think it's a combination of the young men that play up front for us on both sides of the ball, the offensive and defensive lines, and the ability that group has together, obviously playing against one another during practice, but the confidence with which they play, and it impacts the defensive line, it impacts the linebacker level, impacts the secondary, the offensive line, when they are in a position to impose their will as a game evolves and take over the game late in the game. We've been fortunate to be blessed with some very good players, and I think that has been really why we've become successful. We've always prided ourselves on how we play defense and the complementary approach both sides of the ball take.
Right.
We're physical, and we go after people. And the young men on our team have really bought into that, the physicality of our fronts.
What kind of improvement in strength and agility did you see in your winter program to set up your spring?
John Field does an outstanding job, and our bodies have changed. I think that's an important thing. You know, we're not big into gaining as much weight as we can, or we focus on gaining lean muscle mass, and then how it translates into your movement ability and in those areas in terms of our overall team. I'm not going to use the word strength, power. And power right. applies better on the field, but our team speed has improved, and the confidence of some of those younger players as they see their bodies change from who they are as freshmen to who they become going into their first spring of their careers. A young man like Abdullah Anderson, who in high school was 6'4", 235, played this year, really his second year of high school football with us at about 275. He's close to 290 now, and still it hasn't negatively impacted his movement. Those are the things that when they see results, and those results are physical, I think it reinforces the work they do. And now it's time to put it on the field as we start spring practice.
Leaders are developed to me in that winter program, and they really develop in the summer. Those are some moments where they have to do some things away from you. Where do you think your leadership has come from to set you up this spring and then to set you up for the summer?
I believe the leadership can come from any class, but the young men with the most experience wind up understanding exactly what we want and how we have to do it. And the leadership in our offensive line, our two returning tackles, have really shown great leadership in the pre-spring workouts. Julian Davenport and Remy Cassed. Then on the defensive side, our safety play, Clay Yule and Lou Taglianetti. But another young man that's really taken a step in terms of leadership and approach to the game is our quarterback, R.J. Nitti. Wow. And I was just remarking to our staff, we did our last early morning workout on Wednesday, how much bigger he looks and just his development physically. Obviously, that helps you, but he is really taking control of the offense. And if you have a quarterback and an offensive line that can take control, you're in a pretty good spot.
R.J. Nitti, of course, went through a season where he ended up getting banged up, and obviously now it sounds like he's in great shape. Let's discuss command for a moment. Is he the kind of guy that at this stage, because he's played some, can say something to him and that he can question it, and if you question him, he has the ability to defend it?
He does. Yeah, I'm actually I'm in a unique position today where we have meetings that start in a little bit, and because our offensive coordinator is delivering a baby today, I'll have the quarterbacks, and I told Mike O'Connor that they'll be working out of a 3-point stance when I'm finished with them, but. In terms of the nuances, the subtle intricacies of the offense, RJ has become so much better a student of the game, and that'll help him in terms of our being able to do a lot more with him and him being able to be right at the line of scrimmage, where a lot of what we do are decisions that he makes at the line of scrimmage, whether it's directing a run play, changing a protection, seeing a pre-snap coverage change post-snap. I think that he's still getting better with that, but his approach during the offseason has been outstanding.
When you sit down with your staff and someone comes up with an idea, are you one that likes to challenge just to see how convinced they are with their conviction, or do you take a different approach?
I'm always one to challenge. I want to see how much they believe in it. Everybody can draw up plays. It's what do you know about the play? How does this play function when something else happens than what you expect? And we have always been where we get into the staff room. If we have, and I think if you hold your staff back, you're making a mistake. You hire people because they're the right people. And we're fortunate we have a very smart staff, football smart, and really, I'd use the term, they're smart in the ways of the world. But if we have a suggestion, we bring it together as a staff, we talk about it, and if it's something that we feel we can fit into what we can teach our players, then we adopt it. Sometimes we go by the philosophy, if it's not broke, break it. And you might build it up to be what it was, but you might change it just a little bit to make it better. And we're always, football is a constantly evolving game that nobody invented, and no one can take credit for creating cover two or cover four. But if you fit things in that are new and your players can learn them and apply them on the field, and it makes you more effective, then we are open-minded to that. But there are certain things we hang our hat on, and those will be things that we don't change.
Yeah, it's a well-rounded staff with a lot of savvy. When you get to the spring itself, what's on your checklist as a coach where you say, priority-wise, I want to make sure at the end that we're better here, here, and here?
Well, we have to replace two all-league linebackers, and I think that's going to be one of our focal points in the spring. We also have to replace three offensive linemen, but we're fortunate in that we have four who have started returning. So you do the math, that it's a little bit better in that regard. I think the linebacker position is one that we have two rising sophomores that have a chance to be very good players, but it's hard to replace two all-league players that have been around for a while. So it's a linebacker position, the offensive line. The other thing we have to do, we graduated three tight ends. And the evolution of the younger guys in that position is going to be interesting. Two of them have played some, but not they haven't been the guy. And we're very tight end oriented in what we do. So that's what the spring is about, to decide where people fit best. And I'll reinforce this at our team meeting today. It's right now the depth chart is purely organizational, and they change the depth chart, and the depth chart will change, and a lot of competition across positions. But then you've got to be smart in the spring, because you can't beat the heck out of them in terms of physical things. One of the things I feel confident, and it relates to what we do in the weight room, what we do in the pre-spring, is our players will go after you. And if I was concerned about whether or not they would hit each other or hit the opponent, we would have to do a lot more hitting in practice. But you got to be really smart about that, especially we don't have the seniors with us, the outgoing seniors, and we don't have the incoming freshmen. So our roster size is in that low 60s until we add the incoming class. So you got to be really intelligent about how you create your reps, our team reps. We'll go from team to another phase, to team to another phase, so that we're not over-repping the kids. We have a couple kids returning from surgeries that we're going to limit their involvement in the spring, that it changes your numbers even more so.
Success can breed success. I'm sure early on when you were recruiting, hey, come on in, we'll build this together, you'll be an important building block. Did you see a difference in success breeding success as to the individuals that you talk to now that maybe a few years ago you may not have had a chance to talk to?
A lot of the young men that we're recruiting now see us as winners, and I think that's an important thing. And we're fortunate that our approach from a recruiting standpoint has always been to stay ahead of our opponents. We've made significant inroads in making contact with players. We're fortunate that the response has been very positive. It's just making sure they're the right type of individual, number one, for our school, number two, for our team, but also number three, and equally important across the board, is people. And that's the thing that I think we can be much more selective with, the type of character we bring in. And the advantage we have is that our upperclassmen understand that part of it. It makes it an easier transition for us as a coaching staff, because a lot of our older guys will take care of these younger guys when they get here. Tell them, no, this is how it's done here, and this is how we do it, and this is how you'll do it. And that's I'm going to talk to them about at our team meeting tonight. We go by being selfless in a very selfish world, being accountable in a world that's trying to blame somebody else for something you're doing, and then being mentally tough. And, you know, if we can continue to preach and breed those three concepts – we have a chance in every game we play. And I'm sure the guys that we're coaching against are saying the same thing to their teams. But, I tell my guys, the advantage you have is that you're Bucknell and they're not. And we believe in that.
Well, this is the fourth year of our show. We've enjoyed part of the ride of listening to you talk about the development of your program, and wish you nothing but the best of luck here in the spring. It's been a lot of fun for us to watch this happen.
Both you and I need Kevin's autograph. I truly,
yes.
I truly appreciate being able to talk to you guys and how open you are, and you know, we're excited about getting them back onto the field, and just praying for 50 degrees and better tomorrow.
That's what we're hoping for, and as for Kevin's autograph, you know, it may cost us, but if you and I go halves, we're okay.
Let's get a blank check and have him autograph that.
I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I'll wait till it warms up a little bit, then I'll give you a free when we come out, and I'll chat with you at spring practice. But I have to wait till it warms up a little bit. This is too cold for me.
Just remember, we've got a lot of fourth and fifth graders from Middleburg Elementary listening right now. And they wanted to hear you, Kevin.
I'm sure they did.
Joe, thanks so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I appreciate it. And
take
to the
care.
Fourth and fifth graders at Middleburg, it's great to have you on board listening to the show today. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
I'm getting letters from AARP. Okay, I got it. I know I'm old. Okay, next.
What?
I got it.
What?
I said I'm sick of getting mail from AARP.
Oh, come on. I get it too. They want me to be a member. I said, I'm sorry, I don't qualify.
They must listen to the show and think you're old.
Hey, the upset special is still in play. Buffalo now down 9 with 11 to go.
Okay, so
it's in single digits now.
Okay, so in a game that was 6, it's now 9, and you think they're getting closer?
No, it was 12 when I looked last time.
I'm confused.
It was 12 when I looked last time.
Northern Iowa won big over Wyoming. Oh, there's a shocker. As I said, Wyoming should have been playing in the first 4. Not a great day, a mixed bag today for Penn State at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. They get 2 semifinalists, but it's not who you think. It's Jimmy Gulabon and Matt Brown. Morgan McIntosh lost today to Connor Hartman 3-2. McCutcheon lost to Kenny Courts of Ohio State 7-5. And Jimmy Lawson lost to Nick Gwadowski of NC State 11-5. Conaway won in the consolations 4-3, still alive, but Bites was knocked out.
And Spencer Myers was a winner yesterday, the Selinsgrove Grove native, over Stolfi from Bucknell, as a matter of fact. Got a pin at 8:30. Stolfi now in the wrestlebacks, but Myers ended up losing to the 6th seed out of Michigan. I think that was 2-1. An escape and riding time was the difference in that one. And Myers now in the wrestlebacks as well.
Penn State right now is 9th so far. At 141, a guy that you ripped on the show last year, Mitchell Port, continues to win.
I didn't rip him on the show.
Yeah, you did.
I said that school plays a little lighter schedule. That's what I said. It's not ripping him. But yeah, you can say that about somebody like Wyoming. Because they have a record with single digit losses because they didn't play as good of a schedule. But yet I can't say it.
Oh, Wyoming is not in the tournament if they don't win the Mountain West. There's a big difference. They would not have been. They would not have been an at-large team in the NCAA tournament if they had not won the championship game. You can't stand when I come back with logic.
I'm just watching right now West Virginia get four opportunities to score in this possession.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's called a lack of rebounding.
Well, Buffalo's very guard-oriented. Like I said, a lot of the smaller teams are very strong in one area, but they're not well-rounded enough, and that's one of the reasons that they get into something like this, and they'll, if you can find a weakness, you exploit it. And that's where, for example, Iowa State did a lousy job yesterday. It's now West Virginia by 11. Right now, if the Buffalo boat were on Lake Ontario, it would be listing.